My name is Dr. Jeffrey Burke. I'm a naturopath and a master herbalist and the host of the Staying Healthy radio show. My show airs Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. I bring you the best guest in the industry and the topics that are relevant for today's health. The shows stream live at 8 a.m. and for those of you that cannot listen live, my shows are now podcast daily for on-demand downloads at my webpage, drjeffreyburke.com. The show is sponsored by Stay Healthy Health Food Store, Las Vegas' oldest independent health food retailer, now in their fourth decade in the Las Vegas Valley. They're located at 840 South Rancho Drive in the Smith Shopping Center. Go in and see what a local retailer can do for you. Great selection, the most knowledgeable staff, the highest quality products, and amazing prices. The hours of the store are Monday through Friday 9 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 6, and closed on Sunday. I'm looking forward to talking with all of you soon. Stay healthy. Hello and welcome back to the Staying Healthy radio show. I thank you all for taking the time to tune into the show, and hopefully you're going to take away some great information. If you're tuning in for the first time, like I said, it's the Staying Healthy radio show. I'm here Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 in the morning, bringing you the best guests in the industry and the relevant topics for your great health, all up to date from the best of the best, trying to keep us all informed, but also with the realistic way of looking at our health. Of course, every day I send you to Stay Healthy Health Food Store, Las Vegas' oldest independent health food retailer. In their fourth decade in the Valley, they bring you the most knowledgeable staff, the best customer service, as well as a full service environment. Fully packed store with the best of the best products every single day. Go by and see what Stay Healthy has to offer you. You'll find them at 840 South Rancho Drive in the Rancho Town and Country Center on the northwest corner of Rancho and Charleston. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 7. Saturdays, 9 to 6. They're closed on Sunday. Remember to go to their webpage, stayhealthylasvegas.com. Enter your email address. Start getting some great coupons and newsletters. And make sure to like them on Facebook as well. Well, today we're going to be talking with my guest, Neil Levin. You're going to love the show. It's always great when Neil is here. Neil is the Nutrition Education Manager and Product Formulator for the natural products manufacturer Now Foods. He's a board-certified clinical nutritionist who has a diplomat in Advanced Nutritional Laboratory Assessment. He's a professional member of the International and American Associations of Clinical Nutritionists, serves on the Scientific Council of the Clinical Nutrition Certification Board, and he is the Director, Program Chair, past president of the American Nutrition Association, serving on the Public Relations Committee of the American Herbal Products Association. You'll see his comments and articles everywhere. They're published in magazines and newspapers. He contributes to scientific journals, has been featured in countless interviews and television news reports. You can follow his articles at www.honestnutrition.com and at nowfoods.com. He tweets as Neil E. Levin, and make sure you follow him on Facebook at Honest Nutrition. Help me welcome my guest. Hey, Neil.
Hello. It's good to be back with you.
Thank you so much for being here today. What's new in your world, my friend?
Oh, lots of travel and trainings, planning a lot of trips all the way to the end of the year. Some international trips as well as domestic. Those folks need information also. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, you know, you talk to people on your shows that travel around a lot, and they asked me this question, and we might have actually addressed it before, but I thought it was a good question. You know, people want to know that are people in other parts of the world and even other parts of the country, are we all going through the same thing, or are we different depending on our geographical location?
Well, I mean, The one question I get when I go to China is, how do I know that something that works on Americans or Europeans is going to work on Chinese people?
Oh, really? Really?
Which is a pretty extreme question. And what I tell them is that, well, we have biological models. We know what's happening in cells. We know what's happening in animal models. We're seeing the same thing in humans, we're seeing the same thing in diverse populations like in the United States, as well as more homogeneous populations in, say, Finland or, you know, certain countries like that. And so when you put all that together, you have a pretty good idea that these things are semi-universal or broader, the whole human biology rather than some specific genetic thing that's going on. And, of course, there's genetic variation and things like that that we have to look at, but some of the things are just broader than that. Like, humans can't make our own vitamin C. You know, so we have to recycle it. We have to get it from foods. We have to maintain it with other antioxidant nutrients. That's pretty universal. It doesn't matter if you're from China or anywhere else. It's going to be the same. Now, you know, beyond that, you know, there's obviously different cultural and dietary things going on in different areas. Even something as simple as how much sunlight people get, how much vitamin D they can make, can actually make a difference in immunity, cardiovascular health, bone density, and cancer rates, you know, all these other things, blood sugar control, just something as simple as how much vitamin D you can make from the sun.
You know, that being said, you know, it is interesting. You know, I will talk to people that are here in the Southwest, and then I'll talk to people on the East Coast. And some of the questions are almost exactly the same. But it is true that, you know, different philosophies are in different parts of the country. And, you know, and I think that that's, you know, just something we have to realize that, you know, the big thing is just to keep out there, keep training, keep educating, keep informing, and, you know, let people get to the point where they can actually start making a dramatic difference in their good health. But there's work involved. You know, it's not a magic wand.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, we see, for example, if you go to Boulder, Colorado, you know, people are very active there in general. And, you know, you go to, you know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin or something, you're going to see a different ethic of in terms of how active and what you're doing and how many calories you're burning and how aware you are of your physical condition, you know, those kind of things. So that can vary geographically as well, you know, and people might have the same genetic history or basis, just different triggers because of the culture they're living at, in and the types of diets that are prevalent in those areas. You know, obviously in Boulder, more people are going to be interested in not only hiking and skiing and physical activities, but also in a healthier diet in many cases. You know, and everyone kind of a stereotype what the food is in Wisconsin, but they kind of proudly wear the label cheeseheads these days, and you know, the brats and the cheese and the beer and stuff are, you know, very popular there. That's not to say you couldn't burn it off and be very active, but not everyone is.
You know, I know we're going to be talking about some amino acids today, but I was actually talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking about some male issues, and it was just kind of interesting because I know how effective some of the formulations that are out there today for men's health. And his doctor has basically told him that as far as men's health concerned and erectile problems and testosterone and all these different kinds of things that are male based, that you can only work prescriptions because it's the only way you can regulate these parts of the male anatomy and the male problems. And it's an old school doctor. I mean, he's like in his late 70s, getting ready to retire. And, you know, I was just trying to tell him, I'm saying, you know, there was a philosophy in many of these areas of our body like that years ago, but this industry is no longer just, you know, a commodity or a luxury. There's some major things that we can do with our health in this industry now that we might not have been able to do when maybe your doctor learned originally. And I think it's kind of hard for people to, you know, they don't want to go against their physician. And actually, do you remember a time maybe 10, 20 years ago when people would be taking supplements and they wouldn't even let their physicians know? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean, I always do recommend people let them know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, it's very important that they do. Whenever I go to my physicians, and these days I've got a general practitioner, I've got a cardiologist, you know, the different people, and they always want me to bring a list of the medications and supplements that I'm using. And you know, that's actually smart, because if you have to rely on yourself to know that there might be some interaction or some contraindication between something they want to do or suggest that you do and what you're taking, and you're not having the resources to actually figure that out, it's better to have two heads looking at that than one. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I have two or three doctors, so you know, I have more than one person looking at that. Not to say that they're necessarily going to look at it the same way I would or have the same opinions about it, but at least they would have a chance to review it and see what's going on. On the other hand, if you're keeping it secret, there can be problems. You know, one thing that a lot of the doctors ask that, you know, in some areas, as we see, for example, cannabis being legalized or medicalized, is they used to ask if you were using any drugs, including illegal drugs, and people would be afraid to say so because they didn't want to tell their doctor and have it on their record and have that possibly be something that could affect them in terms of law enforcement or something like that. So, you know, that you don't want that to become a problem either, where you're hiding things from your doctor and then they can't assess and suggest things appropriately because they don't know what's going on. You know, obviously, we're not always going to get along with our doctors and have this agreement as to what to do, mm-hmm. but at least if the information's there, you have a better chance of coming to a mutual understanding or agreement and charting a course that is at least going to take into consideration the inputs that you have.
You know, there's another issue, and I know, like I said, we're going to be talking about amino acids, and I want to jump into those. But, you know, I think that it is a different world today in many areas, and you and I have been through so many ups and downs in this industry and just the field in general for such a long time. I mean, today men will actually talk about their health. You know, we're not as closed mouth. We feel a little bit more comfortable. I mean, if you go back far enough, you know, men would barely even talk about the prostate. You know, they wouldn't talk. Now they talk about the prostate and erectile problems and testosterone. And oh my goodness, everybody talks about it. It's all over the radio, all over TV, all over print, all over the internet. You know, is there's no shock value anymore. Everybody today can talk about things. And I think that's actually a good thing because maybe people will feel more comfortable trying something and actually talking about it.
Well, sure. I mean, the more information we have, the better decisions we can make. And, you know, it is good that we have more options. We have more options in terms of information sources, not to say that they're not, might not be controversial or contradictory. You know, certainly there's that possibility. But, you know, having sources means you have to screen them. And, you know, just like we listen to news sources and we have different opinions as to how valid they are or how biased they are. And, you know, people these days are more and more in news silos or information silos where they're echo chambers and they're not listening to other sources. They're not exploring possibilities. You know, I'm always open to other things being possible or, you know, at least considering the possibility. You know, I mean, sometimes it's a little odd, like people who talk about the chemtrails. And when I ask them, how much of the chemical do you think is in each airplane? How many airplanes do you think are doing it? What's the weight and the cost of doing that? What's the purpose of doing that? And do you think the airlines would willingly go along with increasing their costs to spray something into the air? And how much would it take to fill the volume of the atmosphere? You know, you get into all these things, and, you know, at some point, they have no clue. They're just parroting something they heard, maybe, and think that it sounded plausible. But, you know, I'm sure people have experimented with that kind of thing, but I don't think it's being universally sprayed in the atmosphere at all times to change the air we're breathing. You know, that's pretty extreme, you know, so, you know, using judgment, using scientific principles is often a key to analyzing how likely is this scenario? I know it's possible. You know, I know it might have been played around with, but how likely is it that this is a broad-scale thing that's going on and that nobody's talking about it, you know?
Let me ask you a question. You know, there was a time when I remember when amino acids kind of broke on the scene. And if I remember correctly, they were kind of associated with when the book, the Life Extension book, came out with Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw. And I remember that really clearly. It was a long time ago now, as you think about it. But I mean, they really did kind of bring amino acids to the forefront, and some of their stuff was, you know, obviously back then controversial. But I think amino acids today are a little bit more widely accepted, because people do understand that amino acids make up protein, and everybody knows what protein is.
Yes, and not everyone eats good protein. Mm-hmm. One thing I've looked at lately is the difference between plant and animal sources of protein, and animal sources would include milk and whey protein type things, which are probably, you know, some of the more popular ones. But yeah, when we're looking at the data, it's showing that people who are on a low-protein diet, let's say 10% of their daily calories are coming from protein, the plant proteins do not perform as well as the animal proteins because they're lower in essential amino acids, like the branched-chain amino acids, which represent about 40% of the amino acids we need to intake. We cannot synthesize them in our bodies like we can the other 11 amino acids. So there's 9 we have to get from the diet in that form, or we don't get them. And we can get them by from eating protein, but not all proteins are equal. For example, collagen is really not complete protein. A lot of labels are going to say, this is not a complete protein. Do not use this as your only protein source, because it's mostly proline, hydroxyproline, glycine, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, it's a few amino acids that are not anywhere near complete. For example, there's no tryptophan in there. You're not going to build muscle without tryptophan. You're not going to make your neurotransmitters without tryptophan. You know, so it has a use. You know, about 30% of dietary protein is in the form of collagen, and there's actually more than skeletal muscle. But it's not complete protein. It doesn't do everything protein does. It doesn't contain all the amino acids you need. And so when we're seeing these fads like collagen coming along, it's great for the skin, and it's good for joints, and, you know, there's all these other benefits for it, but it doesn't do everything. So, you know, it's important to realize protein is a basic building block. Something like collagen, a specialized protein, is not. If you're doing plant-based proteins, make sure you get adequate protein. And it should be about 30% of dietary calories coming from protein as a minimum, so that you have adequate of the essential amino acids, which tend to be lower, things like branched-chain amino acids in the plant proteins. But you still get sufficient enough of them if you're getting about 30% of your calories from that. If you're getting low protein caloric intake on a daily basis, plant proteins are not going to be enough, and the animal proteins, including whey proteins and egg proteins and things, will be sufficient at that level because they contain more of these essential amino acids. So that's where food combining has a role also, and at the low protein levels, but, you know, not as necessary if you're getting adequate protein.
So let me ask you a question. You know, we look at amino acids in supplement form as a way of bringing some of these individual aminos to the body, you know, for individual situations of balancing and health and different things. You know, but if you're eating a lot of protein already, can we still use these isolated amino acids, even though there's a good amount of protein in our body already?
Well, you can, and people get specific effects from them. You're stimulating a certain effect by adding that amino acid. And remember, when you take a protein, you can have a whole bunch of uses for that amino acid. For example, L-tyrosine, which is made from the essential amino acid L-phenylalanine, and is actually the active form of phenylalanine, but you don't typically get it in food. The phenylalanine is synthesized into tyrosine in the human body. And tyrosine is used to make norepinephrine. It's used to make dopamine. So, you know, your these neurotransmitters and hormones. It's essential to make thyroid hormone. If you don't have iodine and tyrosine, you will not make thyroid hormones. And it's necessary to make the pigments in our skin, which are also necessary for tanning and protecting us from the sun. You know, so that's just one amino acid. L-tryptophan, another one, which is an essential amino acid that we have to get from the diet. About 10% of the tryptophan we eat gets converted into 5-HTP, which is available as a supplement. And 5-HTP is the precursor of serotonin and melatonin. So they're not only feel-good and relaxing neurotransmitters, but they control the timing of things like sleep cycles, shutting off your stomach acid at night so that it's not running night and day, allowing repair cycles to occur, you know, as well as being used, you know, some of the tryptophan is used in muscle. Some of the tryptophan is used in making niacinamide, a form of vitamin D3 in the body. So, you know, there's all these different pathways going on for these amino acids. They're not doing one thing. And when we're talking about the difference between taking mixtures of amino acids and single amino acids, that's also important, too, because some people want to take mixtures of amino acids, particularly if you're older or if you're an athlete. And you're, for older people, it has to do a lot with how complete are the meals and how good is the protein and the content in the meals and how good is their stomach acid and digestion. And if the answer is not very good on either one of those, taking a mixture of amino acids that doesn't require digestion like protein does kind of makes sense for a lot of these people. And likewise, for active people, they might want to take mixtures of amino acids because if they can take them before and during exercise, that they do not require digestion like protein, so there's no prohibition against doing that, that it interferes. You know, it relates to the old thing about don't exercise or go swimming for 30 minutes after you eat, that our mothers used to tell us. You know, there's a basis of that because we had to digest the protein. And that would interfere with our ability for the muscles to work. And you might even cramp up during an exercise because you're diverting resources to digestion. That's not the case with amino acids. They're pre-digested, so they don't require that. And some people want to take specific amino acids either to balance the diet or to get specific effects. For example, a lot of times you'll see the amino acid L-glutamine added to proteins like whey protein because you're getting effects. A lot of the glutamine that's taken in the body is actually used to energize the gut cells, and it's used for the brain as a fuel. So you're getting some benefits from it, adding it to protein. And in the same way, a lot of people take the amino acid lysine because lysine will help balance certain diets that are high in grains, nuts, chocolate, things like that, are low in legumes and beans, and maybe not they're not getting enough of this amino acid, which could actually trigger a recurrence of the chickenpox, herpes-related viruses in the body that sit there dormant for sometimes decades, but under times of stress manifest as cold sores or shingles or various things like that, which is something that lysine actually helps the immune system and helps balance so it doesn't get out of whack. It maintains the homeostasis, the balance in the body, where the health is secure.
Okay, talk to me a little bit about arginine. Arginine was actually one of those amino acids that was so widely talked about back when that I had previously mentioned. Why has arginine seen such an amazing rise in popularity? But I mean, I'm seeing it in many different areas, not just with men, but in general.
Well, arginine is a very important amino acid because it's actually not an essential amino acid for adults, but it is for children.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why is because it's necessary for growth. So as our long bones are growing and our size is increasing, we need arginine. It's essential to get it from the diet. Once we're full-size adults, it's considered conditionally essential, which means for most adults, it is not essential because we're not growing. We don't need as much, and we could synthesize enough from other sources in the body to make it. But that's not true when we're children, teenagers, etc. And in the 1990s, there were actually three Nobel Prizes given in the field of nitric oxide. And nitric oxide, which your listeners might be familiar with, is a molecule that helps open up blood vessels and increase the flow of blood to muscular tissues. It's also the basis of erectile dysfunction drugs like Viagra or Cialis, which are used to increase nitric oxide. There's a relation of the nitroglycerin-type drugs for heart issues, again, opening up blood vessels, increasing nitric oxide. And we're seeing even an increase in some of the supplements, like the beetroot powders and things like that, that are used as sources of nitric oxide. However, read your labels, because unlike now foods that puts out a pure beet version of that, a lot of them are going to spike it with synthetic nitrates. And they might be similar to the sodium nitrite and things that we're trying to avoid in the processed meats. But they're actually adding some of these chemical nitrates to their beetroots to spike the nitric oxide effect. It's a little shady there as to what they're doing. They should be listing these on the label. So if you see one ingredient versus multiple ingredients, there's going to be a difference. So arginine is the nutrient in the body that is the precursor of nitric oxide. And nitric oxide, actually a lot of it is made in the mouth. Like when you're eating beets or something, a lot of that conversion is occurring as you're chewing and digesting these foods. So sometimes the powders are better sourced than the others. But if you're taking arginine or other amino acids in that pathway, which include ornithine, citrulline, or there's an unusual one called norvaline, that all have roles in the nitric oxide and arginine pathways, then you're kind of supporting those roles. Now, arginine is also used to maintain nitrogen balance. When you metabolize proteins in the body and a certain amount of cell metabolism produces ammonia and urea. And ammonia and urea are not good things to accumulate in the body. And the arginine pathway amino acids, arginine, ornithine, citrulline, and norvaline, actually help to reduce the ammonia and the urea and keep them at healthy levels. So you're not accumulating toxins. I mean, everyone knows how toxic ammonia is, for example. Urea is basically kind of like urine. You know, it's a waste product that you want to get out of the body. You don't want it circulating in the bloodstream. And arginine supports liver detox processes to help your body eliminate those toxic materials, and also supports immune function, partially by keeping the toxins down, but it also helps with wound healing and tissue healing to some extent. So there's a bunch of things that it will do, and arginine can help with exercise recovery as well. So, and by the way, look for L-arginine. Arginine and L-arginine are pretty synonymous. They typically do not have synthetic versions of arginine, but on some amino acids, you'll see the letter D, like DLPA or DL-carnitine. The letter D indicates a synthetic form that is not the natural form produced in the body or that you take that from foods. So one thing that's good about our company, Now Foods, is we only carry the L form or the natural forms. There's a couple amino acids that do not have these L and D forms. They have only one form, glycine and taurine, because they're simpler molecules that don't have the complexity where they can have a synthetic versus natural form. Even if you synthesize it, it's going to be the natural form. There's only one form possible in nature.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you are someone that is basing their, let's say you're using it more for men's issue, and you're using the good form of arginine, the L form of arginine, can you take the beet along with it if you really want to get some enhancement?
You can. Arginine actually is fairly quickly down-regulated by the body.
Okay.
It the body does not want a lot of arginine, and so it breaks it down and it's excreted through the kidneys and the urine. Now, the advantage of some of the other amino acids that I mentioned in that pathway is they will convert into arginine as needed to maintain levels of arginine. Arginine itself doesn't maintain its levels very well because the body kind of wants to bring it down. But it likes these precursors like citrulline and norvaline. And you can actually maintain more sustainable, higher levels, longer-lasting levels of arginine in the body by taking citrulline or ornithine, either separately or with the arginine. And you'll frequently see formulas on shelves that are arginine-ornithine or arginine-citrulline combinations. And sometimes it's arginine-ornithine-lysine. And the reason why is what I mentioned earlier, because people who take a lot of arginine might be prone to getting the cold sores or things triggered, and taking the lysine helps prevent that. It prevents that dominance of the arginine over lysine that can contribute to the virus that's already in the body becoming more expressed.
Do you remember when we were first learning about amino acids, how I remember we were always told that they had to be taken on an empty stomach? Is that still true, or just get them in?
It's generally true. Well, I'll explain a little bit.
Please.
If you're just taking it to boost your amino acids because you don't think your digestion is that good, you could take it with a meal. But there is some competition between amino acids. And the competition is largely between the ones like phenylalanine, tyrosine, tryptophan. A few of them have more competition than others. The branched-chain amino acids also compete with them, but they're so important, they have a secondary transport and absorption method, so they don't tend to suffer as much by the competition. Now, if you're trying to get a specific effect from a specific amino acid or a couple amino acids, it's usually better to take them away from protein. And you often see on a label, take on an empty stomach or between meals. What we really mean by that is without protein, without competing amino acids. It's okay to have an apple or a banana or something that doesn't contain protein. Have a spoonful of coconut oil. That won't affect it. So different things have different needs. Like on a multivitamin or certain things with fat-soluble nutrients, it'll say take with meals because you need enough fat to help you absorb the fat-soluble nutrients. So sometimes there's a different strategy that's not really being mentioned, telling you exactly why, but empty stomach or with meals can actually mean different things depending on the mechanism and the substance that we're talking about. It could mean take with fats. It could mean take away from protein, those kind of things. So, these are some important considerations. But let's say you want to take something to help you relax, and you're looking for tryptophan, GABA, taurine, theanine, some of these amino acids that are calming and relaxing, then those are ones that you would typically take away from other proteins to get the maximum effect so that you're not turning it into, here's a bunch of amino acids, we're going to turn it into muscle, we're going to turn it into all these regular things. You're kind of filling up the pathway and shoving it down. For example, like I mentioned with the tryptophan, about 10% of dietary tryptophan goes into the 5-HTP serotonin, melatonin pathway. If you're taking tryptophan by itself, it's more likely that you're going to fill that pathway, which is a secondary pathway, rather than the 90%, which is going everywhere else. for these other uses in the body, you know, more likely that you're going to actually stimulate that pathway and get more of it converted into there. So that's kind of the rationale of taking a single amino acid or a couple amino acids that are going to have a special effect. Some people might take tyrosine and tryptophan together, for example, or 5-HTP to try to increase their feel-good compounds, their serotonin and dopamine, which, you know, as a mood elevator, for example. So sometimes you're manipulating the amino acids by doing that, or you might take arginine hoping to get some effect like Viagra to stimulate circulation to the body, or even short-term to help with exercise and get more oxygen to the muscles.
Okay, now, where does, in this big picture, where does citrulline fit in?
Well, citrulline's interesting because in studies at Florida State University, where they used the now citrulline and arginine products, they've actually investigated the difference. And they found that, for example, in a stress test, and in this test they take young student volunteers, they measure their blood pressure, they give them a substance, and then subject them to stress. And the typical stress test that they do in the American universities is plunge their arm into ice water for 3 minutes, which shocks the system and raises blood pressure. And they see which substances can we give that make the blood pressure rise the least, that protect the blood pressure at a healthy, normal range where it's not spiking up and your body's completely freaking out. And they found that citrulline actually works better than arginine to control that potential spike in blood pressure during stress. And citrulline has also been shown to more accurately predict the level of arginine circulating in the body than the amount of arginine that's taken, because arginine gets down-regulated, citrulline doesn't. Citrulline is a pool that your body can make arginine as needed, so you can actually have a more sustained arginine level in the body, which means your body can make nitric oxide more or less at will, rather than relying on these spikes coming in occasionally that go away really quickly, which you would get from arginine. And ornithine works kind of like the citrulline in that regard. The other one I mentioned is pretty unusual, norvaline. It actually scavenges arginine from the kidneys to help maintain higher levels of arginine in the body. And we actually use that in one of our products called Arginine Power Super Stack. I actually designed that product based on some of the research I saw, where I combined all four of these arginine-related amino acids together in one formula.
Now, when you're taking individual pictures of, and you're taking a look at the big picture, let's say that, and you're using more than one amino acid, because they're isolated, when they go in the body, do they go their different ways, or do they bind together and you lose effects when they should be taken at a different time of the day? I know that question's going to come up.
Well, it's more a question of competition for absorption, both in the GI tract and into cells. So, you know, separating ones that are in similar pathways or that have competition is one issue like that. As I mentioned earlier, like tryptophan and phenylalanine and branched-chain amino acids, certain ones of them do tend to compete. Arginine and lysine tend to compete, but the reason why lysine is added to the arginine-ornithine formulas is, again, to try to prevent them from triggering potential cold sores in people who might be susceptible to them. So it's not as desirable to have the lysine in the formula as far as efficacy, but in terms of avoiding side effects, it becomes desirable for certain people.
I see. You know, I've learned a lot over the years, and what I have learned is that, you know, when it comes to amino acids, it's kind of like uncharted territory for a lot of people.
It is. I just did a training in Phoenix 2 days ago, which was on amino acids. And I talked about protein and protein digestion and how it turns into amino acids and, you know, different types of proteins working, you know, differently for that. The difference between the plant and the animal proteins and the levels, the importance of amino acids like leucine, one of the branched chain amino acids, which actually is a regulator of the skeletal muscle synthesis in the body. So if you want to synthesize muscle to either repair or maintain your muscles, then you need enough leucine, which is one of the branched chain amino acids and probably the most important one. And leucine also helps regulate blood sugar, which has a role in all of this too. So leucine becomes a really important signaling molecule and also a good gauge of how much of the essential amino acids you're getting, especially the branched chain, which have an overbearing importance on body health. They're a third of the nine essential amino acids, but they represent literally 40% of the amino acids we need in the diets as far as quantity. And they represent somewhere around a third of the amino acids in our muscles.
Hmm. Okay. Is there a cutoff on age for people supplementing amino acids to the diet, knowing that they're protein? Would you think that teenagers are probably getting enough in their diet already, and it should be like a younger to an adult individual that should be using them? Because we have a lot of larger kids these days, and a lot of them are very physically active, and a lot of them are athletes.
Well, I mean, the rule of thumb is that the amount of protein you should get on average is about 0.8 grams of protein for every kilogram of body weight. And what that means for the, say, 150-pound adult is somewhere around 70 grams of protein a day. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting three meals of about 25 grams of protein a day, that's what the typical average-sized person would need. Now, we're not all average size. You know, if you have a 80-year-old grandmother who's in 100 pounds and you have a football player who's 300 pounds,
yeah,
obviously their needs are going to be different.
Sure.
But, you know, it gives you a good rule of thumb of what a normal amount would be. Now, what virtually nobody knows, I keep asking this for the last few years around the country. I show a chart in my amino acid presentation, and it's got a chart of the essential amino acids, the amounts that are needed by people, and this is the RDA, the recommended daily allowance from the National Academy of Sciences. Nobody knows there's RDAs for amino acids. Nobody. Huh. I talk to dietitians and nutritionists and people in retail stores and athletes. It's virtually unknown, which is strange to me that this has not been publicized as something important. But it's about 5 grams in certain ratios that match what you need for having essential amino acids. We actually make a powdered formula that contains exactly those ratios in those amounts, because 5 grams is kind of a lot to put in a pill. But, you know, it's unusual that anyone even knows about that. But when you're talking about age limits, I would say that the people buying amino acids when they're young are typically athletes, bodybuilders, active people. If they're buying these general mixes, like the amino 9 formula we make. If it's somebody who's older, the need really tends to increase because the regularity and the reliability of their nutritional status and their diet and their meals tends to decline with age. And it's also a question of, you know, if you're not digesting, the amino acids might be better. If you're having intense workouts, having amino acids might be better than protein for a short term. Not that you don't need the protein too, but during the exercise you need the amino acids. Or if you're not digesting, the amino acids might come into even more importance.
Hmm. You know, I as we learn more about it, it just seems like it's an area that, you know, doesn't get discussed very much. I mean, we don't talk a lot about amino acids. I think we probably should focus more on them. You know, I think sometimes it's almost not mainstream for many people. But, you know, the other hand, I know people that have used amino acids and really like your formulas and will send me an email a month or 2 months into it and say, I can't believe the remarkable difference in the way I feel. I just never knew that these were really available or they were a thing. So the feedback is there. I'm sure you've seen it as well.
Yeah, I actually have a presentation. I mentioned that I do it at trade shows or at even at stores or public events. And it's called Amino Acids, What Retailers Need to Know. Because it's an important category that every health food store carries, but they're not all aware of what all these things do. And for Now Foods, it's very important because we have somewhere between 23 and 24% market share of amino acid sales in health food stores, which means we're the number one brand, and people rely on us to give high quality, well-tested, accurately labeled products so they know what they're getting and have a lot of options. And so people are finding it, but you know, if you have to read things on the internet or rely on word of mouth, it's not as reliable as having the people in the stores trained, as I'm sure the people in the stores in Las Vegas are, you know, better trained than a lot of them.
No, that's
a lot of the stores I talk to, they're chains, and the people are not real well educated as far as having a lot of experience and knowledge. And the amount of experience, you know, decades and decades of experience in the professionals that are in stores like yours in Las Vegas, just tremendously more. And we're seeing more and more of these independent stores disappearing and being replaced by chains where the employees are more or less interchangeable to some extent. And some of them are trying to hire people who used to work at the independent stores, but we're seeing just a decline. I would say as far as Now Foods business in the last 20 years, we probably went from 75 or 80% independents as our customers to probably 5 or 10%. You know, I mean, they're closing, they're declining, they're not being replaced, except by the national chains moving it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
they don't have the education.
I was going to say that's exactly it. It's the information, it's the education, it's the knowledge, it's the there's passion there too. You know, the old school, we love what we do. You know, I do want to remind everybody that as we're talking with Neil today, Stay Healthy does carry the full line of Now Food products, and they're awesomely priced every single day. Some of the best prices you'll find anywhere on Now Foods products. So when you go in, make sure you look for the label. You'll see the orange labels all over the store. And just about, it's funny, Neil, just about every single area or department in the store, there's some Now Foods products there. It's quite cool.
Yeah, and you know, there are certain categories we dominate. We're the number one brand in antioxidants, mm-hmm. amino acids, cardiovascular nutrients, essential oils, carrier oils. We're one of the top brands in sports nutrition mm-hmm. in the natural channel. So, you know, we really do focus on giving natural products well-labeled, transparent as far as ingredients and formulations. You know, we don't use proprietary formulas and things like that where people don't know exactly what's in them. You know, I think people appreciate that. And the fact that we have a lot of single ingredients, you know, whey protein with no flavors or ingredients, or pea protein with nothing added, organic or conventional, tested for pesticides, tested for heavy metals, tested for microcontamination, tested for steroids and radiation. You know, we try to have a really clean product, but that purists will appreciate, as well as having the flavored, sweetened things, naturally, of course, that some people want.
Well, you know, and I've said this a million times already on many other shows, as well as shows with you, you know, I've seen a lot of laboratories over my career, and the one that's the most memorable was the Now Foods category, was your laboratory. It was unbelievable. Marge and I both went, and, you know, it was very memorable. It was something that I will never, ever forget, just because of the attention to detail and the cleanliness and just the nature of the whole business, you know. So that was a pleasure to be able to go see that in my career.
Oh, thanks. You know, we added a new one since you were there. We now have a contamination lab.
Oh, wow.
We spent $2 million setting up testing for radiation and pesticides.
Oh, my goodness.
We can test three times as many pesticides as the USP method, and much more sensitively. We're actually demonstrating our method to chemists at the AOAC, the International Analytical Chemists Organization, at their conferences, because we have the most advanced pesticide testing in the world.
Unbelievable. You know, yeah. One thing I love about this field, you know, as long as I've been doing it, a lot of my friends are winding down in their careers because they're all my age, and I'm just, you know, still loving what I'm doing. I don't want to wind down. I love what I do. And I get to, you know, it's very rare that you actually get to be able to do something that you have a passion for and, you know, and be this old in the industry that you're in, you know, 40 years for me. And, you know, you think to yourself, you still get excited about doing it. That's a pretty darn good thing. And I think that a lot of people are truly learning that there's amazing things still to be learned. And I don't think we're nowhere close to where we're going to be eventually.
Well, I know. We need good people like us to keep doing what's right. And I'm proud to work for the largest family-owned independent company in the natural products industry, where they can decide to do things like invest $2 million to test for pesticides and radiation, mostly pesticides, you know, really in terms of that amount, and have 160 people working on quality control and testing, which is a huge, huge lab. You know, they've invested $100 million in the lab facilities. Who else does that? You have to be focused. You have to be dedicated.
True.
You have to want to know that your products are safe and that you control your destiny to give your customers something they can trust.
Well, Neil, I want to thank you so much for being here today. This was great information. Remember all of my shows, and of course this one today, you know, when you get done listening to the show, if you want to go back and listen to it again, you want some updates and you want to remind yourself, maybe it was just a lot to take down at one time, remember to go to my webpage. You can download the podcast. Neil, have a great day, and thank you once again for being here. It's always my pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Stay healthy, my friend.
You be well, too. Have a good day. My guest today, Neil Levin, representing Now Foods. Awesome. I think that there's something so good about being able to be working with such knowledgeable people, because you know what it does? It allows every one of us to be able to really, truly learn exactly what we need to do and the things we need to focus on and the things we need to continue working with. And I think that's a great thing. Remember to go to Stay Healthy Health Food Store. Stay Healthy is your one-stop full-service location for everything health and nutrition. You'll find them on the northwest corner of Rancho and Charleston. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, Saturdays, 9 to 6. They're closed on Sunday. Remember, they are Las Vegas's oldest independent health food retailer. So that really does make things awesome, because you're dealing with the best of the best. They carry the best. They have the best. They are great for the question and answer. You'll have great conversation and dialogue, and you're getting all the up-to-date information. And because they carry the full line of Now Foods products, their everyday low prices sure make it a great plus, because you're not only getting great quality products, but you're also getting products that are well-priced for the pocketbook. So head over to Stay Healthy. I'll give you their address again, 840 South Rancho Drive in the Rancho Town and Country Center on the northwest corner of Rancho and Charleston. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, Saturdays, 9 to 6. They're closed on Sunday. I want to thank everyone for taking the time out of your schedule to stop by, tune into the show. Remember, Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 in the morning is when you can listen to the show live. Of course, going to my webpage, drjeffreyburke.com, you can click on the archive icon and listen to any of the shows on the available on-demand podcast, courtesy of my awesome producer and Lotus Broadcasting. So one way or another, you'll be able to start really looking at the benefits of the shows. And it's time for all of us to start thinking about what we can do to get as healthy as we possibly can. You don't get to wait anymore. We don't have that luxury. We need to start taking care of ourselves, taking care of business, and doing it the right way, you know, with a great focus on our good health. So remember, tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 in the morning. And remember, if you can't tune in, the podcasts are available for download. I hope you will take the time to start doing something good for yourself, because you know what? You deserve it. Have a great day. Take care of yourself, and God bless. Thank you for tuning in to the Staying Healthy Radio Show. Remember to tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. for the most up-to-date, relevant information on your health with the best guest in the industry, helping all of us to get healthy, be healthy, and stay healthy. For your convenience, podcasts of the show are now available at my website, drjeffreyburk.com. Simply click on the archive icon to make available on-demand podcast downloads. Make sure to visit Stay Healthy Health Food Store for all your nutrition needs. Stay Healthy provides reliable, responsible, relevant service every single day. I look forward to talking with all of you soon.